Blair sneezed and was out 4 weeks. Jovo was soft, though. Is he on he's on the line? Oh, gosh, and I haven't talked to him. Yeah. Jovo, I was just kidding with that one, buddy. What's the strangest injury you have had or a teammate had? Like, I mean, Soap threw out his back picking up a cracker. I mean, it happens. It's life. Did you have a couple? You go, wow, how did that happen to that guy?
Off the ice?
Yeah, that hampered him that he actually couldn't play.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know Soapy. I one thing I do know about Soapy, great kid. One summer he came in looking, like a bodybuilder.
Oh, yes.
Guy. And I remember Mark Crawford just was nonstop on him. It basically what it done, it kind of took him out of playing. The guy couldn't move. His mobility suffered. And then they kind of sat him down for a couple weeks until he kind of trimmed out a little bit. But they told him to get stronger. He definitely took it to heart.
Well, he came in. I'm just thinking, what were you drinking? A bunch of booster juice or something? Like, he was ridiculously big. I don't know if I've seen an NHL player in a time in 3 or 4 months to come back and go, what did you just do?
Right. I remember Crow calling him Incredible Hulk. But he was a solid right hand.
Okay,
man.
But Ed, do you remember? Obviously, we're talking about injuries and the fact that some guys are, whether people think it or not, just maybe they're bailing on their training camps. They'll be ready to play when it's time to play. But I mean, when you heard that Brent Sopel was injured because he bent over to pick up a cracker for his kid as a teammate, do you just simply sit there and go, huh?
I mean, you give your teammate the. I mean, things happen. I mean, it's you bend down, you're playing with your kids, and you hear it all the time, other sports. Yeah, you know, I've been doing this. You know, I was playing with my kid, and I threw my back out. You know, the winter time, you slip on, you slip outside on the ice. But I don't know how significant an injury could be when you're bending down, other than the fact that you slip a disc. But, hey. Who are you to judge, calling out someone else's injury?
Right.
I mean, you never know what their, what happened or maybe it's true, true or not, but you just got to, it's your teammate and you got to go with it.
But Ed, answer this, because I think when physically you're unable to practice, it says something. And we're taking you as a pro athlete to give us an idea of what the mindset would be. We were just talking, I don't know if you're on the air, about Antonio Brown and, his foot issues and then the helmet issues. Here was a guy that now he will show up. But if you have a new teammate and he's making a fuss about something that has nothing to do with the team and going, I need this helmet, this and that. Does that bother you, or do you just guys, hey, when he's here, he's here? Because we as fans, we as broadcasters get to make our opinion and say, hey, what's he thinking about? But as players, do they have that mindset, or are they just going, hey, we're coming to work, and when he's part of our group, he'll make us better?
I think that whole story is ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if there's something else to it, but I think in hockey, I can't remember the last time I played with someone that had, ridiculous, other than a contract, obviously a contract dispute that he's not with the team at the time, practicing with the team to be there and getting ready for the upcoming season with the guys. I think if you would have something in hockey where someone wouldn't let the guy wear a tinted visor, and he's sitting out, I think the guys would intervene and pull him aside and say, listen, get your butt back into training camp here.
And do you think that's just kind of the difference of where hockey is as to
some
of the sports?
I think so. I really don't understand how, unless he's such a stubborn guy I just think the makeup of, the personalities are different. I think in hockey, guys tend to be a little bit more reserved and probably a little feared of causing that commotion. It's good to see hockey players now kind of selling their brand, being a little bit more out there, kind of in that fun-loving way. But I think you probably wouldn't see this in hockey, letting your teammates down like this.
No,
it's basically what it is. It's just a sideshow right now, talking about helmets other than preparing for their upcoming season.
Right. You know, and it was a time, like, when you stepped out of junior hockey, you were still allowed to, once you turned pro, to play without a visor. You had to play with it all through your teenage years. And then I think the only time as a pro you had to wear a visor, right, was when you were playing on the international stage for Team Canada.
Right.
But, like, everybody had to conform eventually.
Right.
Right? And imagine if somebody said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to play. If they're going to make me wear a visor, I'm going to sit out. Well, there's members of his union that would say, maybe think twice about what you're thinking about doing.
Right, and I think that comes back to kind of the makeup of the National Hockey League, you know, the players, you know, that are representing the league. I think, you know, it's not in their makeup, and I think a lot of the thing is, listen, I'm not going to be a sideshow, you know, for this, you know, stupidity. I think for me, you're right. I mean, I wore a half visor junior, and then turning pro, I didn't wear I didn't wear a shield, and then going to the Olympics or World Championships, you know, you got to put one on, and so be it. That's where you got to adjust to what you got to do. But there wasn't I'm going to sit out of the Olympics because I can't. I have to wear a shield.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That thought doesn't go through. Yesterday, while we were on the air, the news came out that Roberto Luongo will be the first jersey to be retired by the Florida Panthers, which caused us to go, how come Eddie's jersey's not retired there? But we're working on that for you.
Right.
What has Roberto meant to that city and community that you call home still? Because here in Vancouver, Ed, you know what it is. Everybody's always talking hockey. You can't go anywhere. Has he had that effect, too, in Florida?
Well, he has. I mean, he obviously being traded here at a young age, he's come in and he's done, you know, obviously on the ice stats kind of, you know, are there for him. And, you know, but he's a guy that has established himself down here. He met his wife down here. She's down here. The kids are kind of growing up here. And he's been a great figure for the organization on and off the ice. So he's obviously, in my mind, a future Hall of Famer. So it's good for Louis to be recognized.
You know, we were just doing some quick research. You didn't play a long time as a teammate with him. Is that right? Was it right at the tail end of your final season?
Yeah, it was
right
at the deadline that he came to Florida. And we played about half, you know, pretty much from the trade deadline on to the rest of that season, which was very long because we missed the playoffs.
Is he a guy, would you look at his body of work, and we were looking at, and in Vancouver yesterday, everyone goes, okay, they retired in Florida as it should be. Does he get a jersey retired in Vancouver? Tough for you to say because your time was limited with him in Vancouver. You came here, you had your run, and then moved on. There's only 9 players in the NHL that have ever had their jersey retired by 2 teams. I don't think it's fair to put him in that group because most of them have all won Stanley Cups. Is it fair for players to be judged simply by what did you win?
You look at a lot of sports. I mean, a lot of athletes are judged. You know, did he ever win a championship? I think in hockey. It's different. I mean, Louis did a lot of special things there in Vancouver. I think if the scenario was that Vancouver, you know, won the Stanley Cup, I don't think it would be an argument.
Not at all.
You know, if his number goes up, you know, at the rink. So, I don't know. I think we look a lot, like I said earlier, we look a lot to athletes, you know, you win championships, and it's not necessarily totally defines the player. I mean, there's been players that sometimes just, you know, stuck with an organization, did a lot of great things, just, you know, weren't fortunate enough to win championships. So, I don't know. That's a tough call. I think his numbers being put in, retired in the right spot, I think, to find Florida Panthers. Done a lot of good things here. So they're looking forward to that night for him.
And it's going to happen when Montreal comes to town. Ed Jovanovski joining us here on the starting lineup. Perry Sulkowski, Joey Kenward. He's going to stroll into the Hall of Fame, isn't he? Might not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he will be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, will he not?
I believe so. Yeah, you're right. Strolling in, I don't know, but I think eventually, yes, absolutely.
Surprised.
Numbers are just.
Here's the thing, Eddie. You've spent your time in Florida. You were there for a bit, then moved on. You surprised that that organization has not retired a jersey? Do you need to? I mean, you haven't won anything. But I was surprised. Going, oh, that's 20 plus years. They haven't had one guy that they've retired.
Yeah, it's.
That's not a good
sometimes
sign.
You know, things are, I don't know, done differently here, or what. But I think. You know, put it this way, I think, you know, kind of this offseason moving forward, I think the organization is looking for, you know, better things moving forward. As far as hanging the jersey, I don't know, as players you don't really think about it. And being retired for a handful of years, it never really crossed my mind.
So, well, what about an alumni? Is the alumni big there in Florida?
The alumni is here. It's not as obviously as strong as other organizations. It's getting there. I think there's a lot of guys circling through Florida. There's a handful of guys that are, you know, obviously Jose Theodore, here's my neighbor here in Florida. Well, Ole Jokinen and Radek Dvorak, these are guys that, you know, I played with that are still, you know, in the area. Actually, Blake Wheeler's a neighbor of mine here in Florida. I mean, these guys are guys that are coming, you know, buying homes here in Florida.
Yeah.
Does the alumni? Yeah, it was funny because I remember when I was still playing, I was injured in a game, and I was upstairs in Philly, and I went into the alumni area, and it was just like, you know, how well they take care of their former players and the setup that they have here. I think here for striving towards that would take a little work, but. I think we're getting there.
What was the highlight of the Erica Branson wedding?
You know what? Last second, I had to cancel.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah. So I ended up going to Windsor a couple times in July. You know, I was back and forth from Ireland for a couple times, and I was just kind of way too much going on. So,
life happens.
Priorities.
Man.
Yeah, man. It was just. Quick, but I heard it was an unbelievable weekend, and I'm happy for him.
Thanks for this. Nice to catch up. We'll do it again. I think we're exactly a month away before training camp, so lots to talk about as everything gets going on.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, watching a lot of tennis.